You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And Brian, the Yankees struck late in the winter meetings, but they struck big, bringing back Aroldis Chapman, obviously spending big money for him, but they have him locked in now for a long time. A long time for a relief pitcher, but it seems like this is just a guy the team has a lot of confidence in, having him for most of the year in 2016, and felt comfortable opening up the bank account for a closer.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was their top priority, and they really made no secret about that. They had spoken pretty clearly that they intended to sign Chapman, and then they obviously made an offer to Kenley Jansen as well, but he was really more of a backup plan. I think that Chapman really impressed them. He came over, obviously he had some baggage with the off-field stuff, but he came in, he handled himself well, he was hardworking, he was a good teammate. He settled what he had to do, he rode out the suspension, and when he was back on the mound, he pitched really well, and they were able to obviously get a big haul for him in July with the understanding that, hey, maybe this is not goodbye. Maybe something will happen and you go win a World Series with the Cubs and come on back. And that's exactly what happened. They spent a lot to do it. He's going to get an opt-out after year three, but for at least in the next 3 years, Aroldis Chapman back in the Bronx. They've got that 100-mile-an-hour fastball in the ninth inning, and they can work backwards from there and really solidify that bullpen.
It's one of those situations when you talk about the opt-out as well where it's not necessarily a bad thing for the team either. You talk about a reliever. I mean, obviously, if he doesn't pitch well, he's not going to take that opt-out. But either way, a guy that throws that hard, maybe 3 years he opts out, and it's best for the Yankees if they don't have him at the end of that contract.
I guess that's always a possibility. But I tell you, I think that if the Yankees thought that he was going to physically fall apart or not pitch well, they would never have given that contract. I think that they felt very comfortable going 5 years and $86 million for him. They saw the excitement that he gave to the crowd when he would come in. Unfortunately for the Yankees, they didn't have a whole lot of save situations for him, but he still pitched well when he came in, not as many as they would have wanted. But they get to try that again in 2017, 18, and 19. And Tim, I think we talked about it down at the winter meetings. This is one of the best pure athletes I've ever covered, and that includes position players, pitchers, everything. I think that this guy is built like a wide receiver. I mean, he is strong. He works hard. I mean, it's no surprise that he throws 103, 104, 105 miles an hour. He is a specimen. He is different than any other pitcher in the game, I think. And I think that if he ran a 40-yard dash against Brett Gardner and Jacoby Ellsbury, he'd win. He's that good of an athlete. So I think you know, you never know for sure with pitching, but the Yankees feel like they have a pretty safe bet with this guy.
So they give Chapman $86 million over 5 years. Reports are the Dodgers have reached an agreement, $80 million for Kenley Jansen, and Jansen was a guy who there's a draft pick attached to him. Obviously, the Dodgers don't have to give up that draft pick since he was their guy, but you do the math on that, $80 million or $86 million with the pick. Does that mean in this day and age in baseball, a first-round draft pick is worth $6 million?
Well, I guess it was to the Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins. I'm not sure. But the Yankees were very clear that they did not want to lose that pick if they didn't have to. You see their first-round pick history over the last few years, and it's been checkered. They've got some hits and misses. But I think all things considered, they'd rather have Aroldis Chapman pay some of that money and get the 16th pick in next year's draft rather than lose that pick to the Dodgers to have Kenley Jansen.
And the beauty is they get Aroldis Chapman, and you could say Gleyber Torres for that amount of money, yeah, because obviously they traded him for Torres at the trade deadline. Quite a move by the Yankees to really, for a team that was quiet most of the winter meetings, you read articles about winners and losers, and they're now suddenly included in most of the winter meetings' winners' discussions because they got the guy that they wanted to get. The winter meetings always ends with the Rule 5 draft, Brian, and the Yankees, I don't know if I've seen a team lose as many players in the major league phase of the Rule 5 draft. What it does say, though, is it says a lot about where this organization is now as far as the minor league system. The Yankees lose four players in the major league phase. That means they had four players that they had to make a decision on, and they couldn't protect. They didn't have room on the 40-man roster, and these guys were available. You'll only see that from a team with huge depth within the organization. So I'm not going to get into the players they lost. They're obviously players that the Yankees valued less than they value other players. But just the fact that they lost that many players says all you need to know about this Yankee system.
Well, yeah, and what Brian Cashman was saying as he checked out of the winter meetings was it's only going to get worse. You only have 40 spots, and you can't protect everybody. And they came to the winter meetings with one spot open. They used one of them to finalize the deal with Matt Holliday. They're still going to have to clear a spot to put Chapman back on the 40. So the Yankees feel pretty confident that they're going to get some of those guys back. You know, last year, Jake Cave, an outfielder, was taken by the Reds, and he went to camp with Cincinnati and wound up coming back to the Yankee system. And they think they're going to be able to get some of these guys back. But the one big name of the guys they lost is Luis Torrens, who a very promising catcher but has been sidelined due to injuries, hasn't played above A-ball. So he'll go to camp with the Padres, I believe. He was traded from the team that drafted him. And then they think they'll get him back. So I don't think you see too many guys make the jump from A-ball to the big leagues. But it is an indication of how strong the Yankees farm system is, that they have so many worthy players that other teams want to bring in and take a look at in spring training and have a shot to make that 25-man roster going in the opening day.
Yeah, and I would think Torrens comes back because it's one thing to stash a Rule 5 player in your bullpen or maybe have a fifth outfielder. But as far as a catcher goes, that's pretty tricky how you make your way through the season keeping an extra catcher on your roster, even for the Padres, who obviously aren't expected to contend. That would be quite a task for them. The Yankees have signed Ruben Tejada to a minor league deal, a spring training invite, I believe, as well. Obviously, a guy that was a big part of the Mets for years, always could do it half the game, but maybe couldn't put it fully together as far as the glove and the bat. But an interesting move by the Yankees, at least, a guy that's familiar with New York, and it'll be interesting to see how he performs down in Tampa in the spring.
Yeah, he's a guy they've liked for a while. Obviously, it's never a bad thing to have a guy who's played across town and understands what New York is all about. Yeah, he'll have a chance to come in. I think that they're looking at Ronald Torres as that backup infield guy. And Rob Refsnyder will get some reps at second and third again in the spring, assuming he's on the roster. But you always want to have depth of competition. So it really, no risk there. Bring him in and see what happens in spring training. And if there's an injury or maybe he outperforms, he can grab a spot. So, but, yeah, he's a guy who's played in the big leagues. You know what you're getting pretty much with Ruben Tejada. And you see what happens in spring training. You take a look at him and get him his 30, 40 at-bats and see where you are.
Listening to Brian Cashman, it sounds like upgrades to the starting rotation, or really additions to the starting rotation, unlikely at this point. I guess really the cost too high to really upgrade, and to a degree, I guess they kind of like what they have there. So what is left to do this offseason, this hot stove season? Is there a trade out there? I know Brett Gardner will forever be on the trading block, or as far as rumors go. Is there a deal to be done? What's left for the Yankees to do?
Well, I think that if they could trade Gardner for starting pitching, they would. I think they look at that rotation, and, you know, we've gone over it a lot, but Masahiro Tanaka, Michael Pineda, and CeCe Sabathia are your only locks, and then you've got five guys battling for the last two spots. If you can iron one of those out and plug somebody in, then I think you're in a good position there. They obviously have some outfield depth. Aaron Hicks is looking for a way to break in. Aaron Judge is probably going to be handed the starting right field job. They really want to go with the kids at right field and first base. So it's an option. They don't have to move Gardner. I think they were in this position last year, and like you mentioned, a couple of years before this as well. But he's out there. He's being dangled. He's got an affordable contract. He's attractive for a lot of different reasons. So teams know that Gardner's out there. Cashman said he's still getting hits on him, but obviously nothing has matched up as of yet. The Yankees are not going to trade Chase Headley. They're going to stick there. I think they dangled him out there and didn't like the return. They found out that they were probably going to have to eat most of the money left to Headley, and at that point, you're probably just better off plugging him in as your starting third baseman. So I think that's it. Minor tweaks like that. Obviously, you get the minor league signings like Ruben Tejada, but unless there's a big move with Brett Gardner, I think this roster might be pretty close to set.
Great stuff, Brian. It's going to be a slow rest of the winter for you. Good to hear.
Well, you know what? Famous last words, and that could change in a hurry. So stay tuned.
All right. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Yankees edition. For Brian Hoke, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.